Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey there.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, this is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill over here.
And I'm Rich Reardon. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. And old Don, he's still out on assignment.
That's true.
Yeah, he'll call in here after a while with all the information he's gathering in the area that he is in. Beautiful morning, 37 degrees.
Yeah.
50 yesterday.
Humidity is 73, and it's kind of a little bit chilly, but
yeah, it's still wintertime. By all means, it's still wintertime. But anyway, welcome everybody, and glad you could join us this morning. And I got a little lake report, not much. Lake level is holding right at normal at 538, Pat said, down at the Corps of Engineers. And it's not fluctuated much. She said it had went up a little bit, but it was right back down. So that's a report on that. As far as fishing, the ice fishing, there is none as of we speak.
No, there's no ice out there now.
And it's just a little too cold to get out in the boat and try to fight the cold. So we're going to have to wait a few weeks probably on that. But by gosh, you know, spring's right around. Turkey season's coming in here in April. Last part of April, so want to kind of keep that in mind. And if you going out west hunting in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, anywhere like that, you need to be getting prepared to send in for your license. Everything's on a draw out in there, and
right.
So you need to get your information and get it all ready to apply for those licenses. Wyoming elk has already been, it's over, out of state, it's over as of the 31st of January. So anybody that put in for there, well, the 24th, I believe she told, 23rd, she told me that they would have it up on the computer whether we got drawn or not. And as far as any hunting season here, that's we're pretty well out of hunting, I think, in this area in Indiana. But
what's the first one that comes up? Is that turkey? Or?
Turkey will be the first one, yeah.
And that's in March, right?
Or April.
April? Mm-hmm. I thought it was March.
Around April the 22nd, somewhere in that neighborhood, give or take. I don't know. Don may have the right exact date. I don't have the exact date in front of me, but it's in the last part of April and it runs up until the 10th or 12th or so of May.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen the turkeys that we normally see Claire. In fact, Claire mentioned that yesterday that we just not seeing the turkeys along the road and stuff that we normally see. So I don't know what's going on. I know I haven't seen them there at the house for some time. And we had a pretty nice little covey of turkeys. But
I've seen a few around.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Like I said, I don't get out that much anymore and scout them out or anything. So just coming to town or depends on what direction I'm going from home, we'll see them once in a while. See a lot of deer. There's a couple of real nice deer there in the backyard the other morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning. And they're still around.
We got to take a real quick break.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, and Don called in, so we'll get him in a second. Okay. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Yeah, don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
And you're listening to WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. It is now 37 degrees, and like we said, the humidity is about 73, and it's going to get... supposed to be a little bit of chance of rain later tonight, and that may turn into some freezing rain, so watch that. In the meantime, we'll be back with Inside Outdoors.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we wasn't going long there. I think we got Don on the other line here. Hey, Don.
Hey, boys.
Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Yes. Makes me feel young.
Southern lingo going, you know.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been doing any fishing yet?
No, I haven't. I've got the boat ready, but you still got to go out 20 miles to catch any fish. So.
That's too far.
I don't like to get out in the Gulf Stream. You know, it's not my idea of a good time.
No. I'll stay a little closer.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of other things going on this time of year down here in South Florida.
Hey, while you're on there, what about the strawberries? Did the frost and freeze get them?
No. They did not.
Oh, they didn't?
Plenty of strawberries. What was hurt this year was the citrus crop.
Oh, yeah?
Down 15%. So the prices are up, but the quality is pretty good. They're as good as I can remember. They're real juicy and sweet this year.
Well, good. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you got any friends down here... Yeah, call them up. I'll send you guys some.
Well, you know, if they're down 15% and they've lost a lot of groves over the years down there, that's 15% don't sound like much, but stop and think of how many they've lost over the years of big groves, and that's quite a few. That's quite a bit.
15% in 1 year is... a lot.
Right.
And it's this invasive, I guess it's a mildew or something that gets on the plants and causes them just to start, the leaves drying up and the number of fruit on the tree is severely decreased. And eventually those trees have to be replaced. And of course, they'll get the disease again. They don't know how to stop it. Yeah, you know, so they cut down the trees that have it and plant new ones all the time.
Right. I know up there at around Lady Lake up there, Coca-Cola's got a plant up there and they got some ground. And I remember they planted a pretty good sized orchard of orange trees. And 2 or 3 years, they took them all out. on account of they was diseased.
Well, that's kind of the story in Florida citrus now. You know, that's just the way it is.
That's part of life, I guess. I mean, well,
yeah,
it's part of farming, ranching, or whatever you want to call it. That's just part of it.
Florida's got so many invasives that, it's kind of hard to keep things going down here, you know?
Right, right.
And if you don't have a drought, you got a hurricane. So,
yeah.
So, life is tough for agriculture down here.
But there's some mighty fine tasting fruits and vegetables comes out of Florida.
Well, yeah, this year's crop may have been reduced, but boy, the honey bells were as juicy as or juicier than they've ever been. Those grapefruits are sweet as honey, and all is right in the taste market.
Well, that's good. Like I said, they deserve it because they go through some rough times.
Yeah, they do. Well. Yeah, agriculture's big. It's number two behind tourism down here, so that's the way she goes.
Well, do they grow sunflowers down there?
No, that's more of a North Dakota thing, I think, you know. you'd call them truck crops up in Indiana, I'd say. You know, there's strawberries and tomatoes and lots of those.
Well, I think Bill knows why I brought that up. Tell him about that, Bill.
Well, last night I was watching RFD, and between the halftime of the IU basketball, I don't know where you watched that, the IU basketball last night.
I did. I saw them. They just killed whoever that was, Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah. Well, of course, Minnesota's hurting. They got three of their top players gone, but IU, I thought, played quite well. They're coming
on.
They did.
Green was hitting his three pointers.
Yes.
They look good. And they played pretty well against Michigan State.
Well, yeah, the only 3-point difference there, and Purdue too. So they're just almost there, not quite.
Yeah, I don't know who they got today. I know the game's at 4:00. That's right, 4:00 today.
Oh, they got another game today.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the big game today. That'd be Michigan State and Purdue.
Yeah, that's
at 4:00 this afternoon.
Yeah, I knew that was on. IU probably doesn't play till Monday, do they? Sunday or Monday?
I'd have no idea.
Well, that's the way with me because
they used to be able to keep track of these Big Ten schedules, but once the Big Ten Network came in, the scheduling is irregular.
Yeah, well, and now they're 2 and 3 and 4 games a week, which is outrageous. And I don't see how them boys study and make their grades.
Well, they work hard.
Well, they'd have to work hard because they can't get much rest because – when they're not playing basketball, they're studying. They'd have to be to pass a test or anything. So it's rough on them trying to do both. And, of course, that's the reason they're here, to get an education and play basketball.
Well, I got to say, I know this is true, and most professors at IU would tell you this. If you have official university scholarship athlete in one of your classes, that's going to be one of the best students you've ever had. Now, this is the far and away the majority. I've never had any other experience when I was teaching there, is that they make good grades. They come to class every day. They participate in class. They're able to write. And, of course, they get help from tutors when they need it, which are available actually to all students at the university. And, they're really top-notch is all I can say.
Well, good. That's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
Well, tell them about the sunflowers.
That's
where I started with this.
We got on a sunflower and then got on basketball. kind of enjoyed that game last night. But anyway, I was watching RFD last night between the halftime there, and they was talking about sunflower seeds and sunflower pie.
Huh?
Have you ever seen one?
No.
By gosh, they look pretty good.
Well, I've seen sunflower suet.
Well, they said the batter was much like a pecan pie batter, only they use sunflower seeds, and when you put it, bake it, the sunflowers kind of float to the top and makes a nice crust on top, just like a pecan.
Hmm.
And that old boy who was trying her out that had never tried it before, and boy, he said it was good, and it looked good.
Well, and sunflowers are sweet. I'm sure it is good. It
so
sounds good.
If someone out there has tried a sunflower seed pie,
let us
I'd
know.
Like to hear from them. Because I'd like to see if I didn't get the, well, they didn't tell the whole story of, I presume, well, he said it was like the batter of a pecan pie, so I presume it's make a batter, you know, mix up your ingredients like a pecan pie and only add sunflower seeds, the way he talked. But maybe somebody out there has made one and can verify it and tell us what it's like.
Yeah, well, it sounds good to me.
I wouldn't mind. Well, I'm willing to try one. I really am. After seeing that last night, I thought, boy, you know what? That's something different.
And, yeah.
And you was talking, I had never heard of a sunflower seed pie, but you was talking about walnut syrup.
Yeah.
And I never heard of that.
Yeah.
So try a little bit of everything here.
Yeah. Apparently you can make syrup out of walnuts too, so or you know, walnut trees
out of the sap.
Yes, I've had some syrup from hickory trees this last year. Hmm. That was okay. Yeah.
Out of hickory tree.
Yeah. Anything that's oily, you know, and cooked down, ought to make syrup of some kind.
Well, yeah, you're right there. Yeah.
Well, hey, my prediction came true last weekend. The Eagles beat the
Patriots, didn't they, though?
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah. What was that?
I think it was 43 to, I can't remember, it was about
41 to 33, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah, 41 to 33.
It was enough to win, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I was pretty excited.
Well, I was too. I was for the Eagles, and not that it made a lot of difference. I just kind of turned against New England, and after that last episode with Indianapolis,
yeah,
Colts and stuff, I kind of turned my cheek on them.
Well, hey, we got to take another break, so hang in there. Don will put you on hold, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Don't go away.
Hi.
And get you a bacon and egg sandwich, by golly, and chow down, and we'll be right back with a cup of coffee.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington at 91.3 FM, 98.1 FM in Nashville, 100.7 FM, and Nashville, Ellettsville is 106.3 FM. Community radio for South Central Indiana. And it looks like we're overcast with 37 degrees still, which isn't too bad compared to what it's been like in the last month. So, and we're going to see a little bit of drizzle tonight, and it's going to turn into some freezing rain. So watch that. And we'll be back in just a minute with more Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
And hey, we are back.
We're here, by golly, yes. And while we're talking about food and stuff here, the Winter Farmers Market down in Smithfield started this month. Last Saturday was their first one.
Nice.
And Pat said yesterday that it was a pretty good success. A lot of people showed up, and vendors had quite a bit of stuff there, different stuff. Of course, there wasn't any vegetables yet, but
yeah.
But it's just kind of a get together, and first Saturday of each month.
Well, what do they got this time of year?
Well, a lot of knick-knack stuff, ornaments and yard stuff, stuff to get ready for spring.
Gotcha.
And then they have biscuits and gravy down there too. They feed you can eat breakfast there.
Mm-hmm.
They fix that, and it's a pretty good time. And then a little later on the spring there, 1st of May and stuff, they'll have a lot of flowers and Mother Day flowers and stuff like that, you know, for Mother's Day, and plants of different kind. And so it's pretty nice just to get out, and it's winter time, getting cabin fever, and it's time to get out, and it's a good place to go. First Saturday of each month, it'll be Saturday up until vegetables come in. About the 15th of May, I think, is when they start having it. Then every Saturday.
Well, I can't wait to get rid of these plastic tomatoes I've been eating that you get in the stores nowadays. Yeah. Boy, they're green and...
Oh, ain't they, though?
They're awful.
Hard as rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are called a tomato.
That's true.
Of course, when they gas them, that's what turns them red, and they're still green. And
yep. They sure taste green.
Well, they are. They're different. Amos down at Smith, well, he lives down in Montgomery's, really, Odin and area. He's one of their main suppliers of vegetables, and he has some mighty fine tomatoes.
Ooh, yeah, I'm ready for them.
I am too, yeah.
Now, are you getting good tomatoes down there in Florida?
Yeah, fairly good, but... Actually, I got some real outdoor news here.
Okay.
I'd like to pass along when you're ready.
Hey, let's hit it.
Yeah, I got a few things too, but go ahead.
We got this DNR announced the hunting season dates for 2018-19. And I thought I'd give everybody a little preview of what those are going to be.
All right. Well, let's have them. I didn't know the turkey. I thought maybe you might know the turkey. Dates.
That's a woodland game, isn't it? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah.
I'm looking on it here. They don't have. They don't have. They've got everything on here except turkey. Oh no, there it is. Here we go. You want to hear the turkey dates?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Youth turkey hunting dates this year: April 21st and 22nd. One male or bearded turkey per hunter in youth spring season. Okay? We got a spring hunting season. That's the main turkey hunting season, April 25th to May the 13th. So you were right about that being in April, Bill.
Yeah, well, I wasn't too far off, but I hadn't looked to see what the exact date was.
Well, it's almost the end of April, so there you go, you know. And we got a fall archery for turkey season. That's fall archery turkey. That's October 1st to October the 28th. And then again, December the 8th to January the 6th. So we got two kind of a split season there, bent around the turkey or the deer hunting season. And we have a fall firearm season for turkey. That's October 17th to October the 28th. And that's... one bird of either sex per hunter in the fall.
Hmm.
That. That used to be Bearded Turkey. I know it used to be that Tom's Only, didn't it?
Well, I thought it was, but I might be wrong.
There's so many of them now, I guess they open them on hens, too. So anyway, turkey hunting hours are a half an hour before sunset, sunrise to sunset, the usual thing. Now, deer hunting season next year, the main firearms deer season is going to be November the 17th to December the 2nd. That's the main season, although we got fire in the reduction zone where they're trying to reduce the deer more than ever. That starts September the 15th to January the 31st in those reduction zones. Wow, that's like long season, isn't it?
Boy, that's a long one, yeah.
Then we got muzzleloader December 8th to December 23rd. Then we got doe season. I call it doe season. They call it special antlerless. That means December 26th to January the 6th. But, man, we're really shooting up to deer. Is what all I can say from that. I guess they think that we're overwhelmed with them. Haven't heard any more about how many deer came out of Griffey or anything about that.
No, well, there's nothing been in the paper or anything that I've seen.
Well, if I was there, I'd go down to the park department and ask them about it, but, you know, I'm not there. They won't talk to me on the phone. They're afraid I'll ask them the wrong question.
Yeah, you want to watch what you asked them.
So let's see, what other woods, what other hunting seasons are you interested in? We got probably fox, fox squirrel and gray squirrel. That's August 15th to January 31st. No suspended season now. You know, that's not a split. It used to be a split season. So it's August 15th to January 31st. That's your first hunting season after turkey season. Then we got quail, November the 1st this year. Hard to believe since there aren't hardly any quail, but the bag limit on the southern area, which we are in, is still 8, which is ridiculous. I know they do that just to keep the game farms happy. I just can't imagine. When was the last time you saw a covey of 25 quail? You know?
Oh, my. That's been forever.
Well,
it seems like it.
You remember the big flood over in Greene County here a few years ago?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where it covered the plain. That was the last time I saw a covey of quail before that flood.
Well, that's about the last. That was about the end of them.
That really did really hurt them bad, and I haven't heard of any reports of anybody hearing quails calling.
You might see one or two, but you'd be lucky to see them.
Yes, that's right. Quail season ends January the 10th, 2019, and then rabbit hunting is November 1st to February 28th this year, bag limit of 5. That pretty much covers the popular animules involved in this, so...
Well, I looked this up, and I do have a deer herd reduction at Griffey Lake news.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
The Bloomington Parks and Recreation Department announced today that the deer cull at Griffey Lake has been completed for this season. A total of 62 deer were removed from the property by wildlife management contractor White Buffalo Incorporated. I guess they're the ones out of Connecticut or whatever. I'm not sure where they are from, but
I thought New York, but maybe not.
I'll look that up too. But anyway, they got 62 there of the 100 that they were hoping to. So that's all I knew.
Well, that's a substantial number.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say what they done with them? They're supposed to have donated them to the.
They did
shelters.
They donated them to our old buddies at KW. Deer processing, and then went to the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. And let me see. The funding for the meat processing was provided by Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. So I've never heard of that, but we'll have to find out about them.
No, I don't know who's involved in that.
But anyway, so there you go. They did do some calling. They got 62 of them.
Okay.
Well, that's
well, let's see. I got another little item here for you.
Okay.
What do you call them? Indiana Wildlife Federation has been watching the legislators, which is a good thing somebody does. They've got a bill up there this year that's going to remove home rule on local stormwater runoff. In other words, there's a lot of towns that have made stricter stormwater runoff rules than the state has. Mm-hmm. So this gets in the way of the contractors who are buddies of the guys up in Indianapolis, and they don't want anything in the way of to be in the way of business. So they've made they're making this law that you can't have a law stricter than the state law in your town, okay? Which basically means the state laws are much weaker. You got to have go through a bunch of hoops to get anything done, and it's just a terrible law. And Bill, you know what happens when they don't control stormwater runoff because of what happened on the highway out there, 69 and Indian Creek.
Right.
Just basically bare covered the bottom in mud.
Well, of course, they're going to pass a law to help their buddies.
Well, that's exactly what this is.
And did you see where Jeff Ellington had a bill up to go ahead and timber on the hillsides and places that shouldn't even be touched?
Yes, those are the places that, you know, all those pictures from the 1920s when they were skinning every forest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Those bare hillsides with the, and you know, that's what got Brown County in such a mess was the clear cutting they did over there back in the early 1900s, and then this Forestry Service is taking the credit for making it beautiful again. Now they're cutting it again. Now they want to cut even more of it. It's just ridiculous.
Well, if they just think and go back to a month ago in California. What's going to happen when it comes a big rain and freeze and thaw? And of course, they don't have the freeze and thaw out there. We do, which loosens up the ground more. Then you get a big flood, and where does all that soil go? Well, in the road or in the lake or in the watershed, it contaminates everything.
Yep, there you go.
So all we have to do is use their head and say, hey, this is not good. Look what California done. And, you know, that burn off, and when it burn off, there's no difference in that and timbering it off other than you're making money on the timber, but you're doing the same thing. You're taking everything off the ground and to where there's no ground cover, and then when it comes a big rain, then the soil has to go somewhere because it's all loose and it's going to go away in the streams and everywhere else.
There you go. Well, here's what the Indiana Wildlife Federation has to say about this bill. It's House Bill 1096. It says it takes authority away from those who are most qualified, which is the local people, I suppose. House Bill 1096 undermines home rule. That means you lose control of what you want in your town, reduces protection for Indiana's lakes and rivers, causes confusion. You have to have, the bill says locals are limited to the state rule, and the state's rule says it's all up to the locals. There's a good one. This kind of confusion from no more stringent laws has led to lawsuits in many other states. So there you go. And they want you to call your local state representative to talk about this. Of course, you just mentioned one of our local state representatives, Mr. Ellington, who's apparently, he's probably got something to do with this bill.
Well, yeah, he's the one that introduced it.
Oh, boy.
Or one of them. And, of course, he's in the timber business, the tree business, so...
Right.
And he's got buddies that's in the timber business, so we'll just pass the law. Well, see, that's what's wrong.
Well, that's the way government works these days. I mean, it's always worked that way to some degree, but boy, nowadays the land destroyers, the earth destroyers, are in control.
Yeah, they are. You got that right.
They are.
And like you said, call your state rep or whatever and complain about it and tell them no. Because, like I said, it's going to contaminate. I mean, we fought this thing for how many years trying to keep the creeks and the water improved anyway. It's still contaminated to a point, but at least we've been improving it. And now they want to tear it all down and lose everything we've gained.
Well, there's a certain element of people out there that have wanted to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency ever since it was born. And I guess you know who that is.
That's, oh, yeah.
People that want to use the environment. And, you know, we like to use it too, but we don't want to destroy it in the process.
Right. And, you know, of course, by having the business and having gas pumps and all that, you know, it was aggravating. And there's, I've got a lot of, remorse against the EPA. But at the same time, I realize that we've got to have it.
Yeah. Right.
We have to have it. Whether you like it or not, and I don't like it, I'll admit it, I don't like it, but I'm broad-headed enough to know that we've got to have it to protect our watersheds and our land and what have you, and air and all. Without it, you ain't going to breathe.
There you go.
Well, and there's a guy named Andrew Wheeler. I don't know if you remember this. When they were in November, they were confirming at a Senate confirmation hearing that was Trump's nominee to be the EPA deputy administrator. And he's the one that couldn't answer any basic science questions and doesn't believe in global warming and all that kind of stuff. And those are the kind of people that we're putting in charge of it right now, which is not good.
No, because... Go ahead, Tom.
The anti-education people are running education. The anti-environment people are running the environment. The anti-people people are running the people. And it's just on and on.
Yeah.
It's everything's upside down.
Well, that and backwards. I think we're going to have to take a little break.
Yeah, and I got a little more to say about the, talking about bringing... or what they're doing with the logging and everything around. But we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. So hang in there, Don. Hang in there for a minute, and we'll be right back.
Don't go away, folks.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is listener-supported WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, Bedford, Ellettsville, Nashville, community radio for South Central Indiana, and we're also online at WFHB.org. If you missed this program, you can listen to it online at WFHB and also on our website and also Morrison's, which is our underwriter. Anyway, today is 37 degrees right now. It's looking like it's going to get just a little bit rainy tonight and maybe do some freezing rain overnight. So watch out when you're getting up and getting around, going to church in the morning or whatever you do. It might be a little slippery. So anyway, we'll be... back in just a moment with more Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, glad you could join us this morning and stick with us. You was talking about Morrison's there a minute ago. We bought that new range kitchen stove out there the other day.
How's that working?
Like a charm.
Now, you said your house almost burned down when they take a look at
that. It could have. The old one had been pretty warm.
Yeah.
And it left a lot of scorch.
Right.
But, I went to Morrison's, bought a new stove.
All right.
And, man, that bakes. It's excellent stove.
Good.
It's good. I'll not mention the brand name, but.
Well, hey, back to what we were talking about. You were talking about, lumber industry and everything. And I just happened to have been hearing, because I got some of my friends over there in West Virginia, but old Governor Jim Justice has proposed to allow commercial logging in the state parks, which has got everybody up in arms because they want to go out and take the best trees, the oldest trees, of course, liquidating the biggest and most valuable trees because those are the ones they make money on. And so they're doing it everywhere, and it looks like West Virginia is right in the middle of a battle over it.
Well, I don't know why they can't leave some of the... the people, it belongs to the people, the parks and all parks, where state, federal, county, or what, belongs to the people.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to.
But they don't pay any attention to the... people's request when they want timber or whatever they want to do.
Bill.
They do as they please. Yes.
Here's the thing on that. You hit the key word there is belongs to the people. Now, when you start saying things like that, that automatically sends a certain group of people in this country into orbit because that's communism. If it's for the people, it's communism, just plain and simple. And if it's for the people, we got to get rid of it. The business of America is business, and that's the way it has always been, with a few exceptions here since 1972. But it's swinging back the other way mighty fast. And
yes, it is.
Part of it is this. That's the excuse they use is, that's communism. Or that socialism, to have things for the people, But
right.
We know that that's just a subterfuge, and what they really want is the resource, and that's what they're taking.
Yeah, and they're taking it fast.
Yes, they are, as fast as they can, because they know this can't last forever.
Right. Look at Morgan Monroe. And I know they've destroyed that.
Well, Morgan Monroe, and boy, they're really working on Yellowwood.
And Yellowwood, there's another one.
Yeah.
They're just destroying them.
Well, 400% increase in logging every year, is just can't be sustained. Of course, these guys are all expert Purdue forestry guys. We can cut them all. We can cut them all and grow them back in 20 years.
Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen between now and them 20 years?
Yeah, right. Well, it'd be lots more deer. They're trying to get rid of deer, so they're going to make more habitat for them.
Right, right. And that's the way they think and operate.
And they got this jargon.
I do have some good news.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to start hunting the grizzly bears around Yellowstone this year.
Uh-huh.
They delisted them. They're no longer an endangered species. Wyoming started process to have a hunting season this year, but Montana, according to the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has announced they would not seek permission to organize a hunting season for grizzly bear through the Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission. And this was supposed to be to eliminate the bears on the edge of Yellowstone Park because they're eating some cattle, right? And I can understand the farmers being upset, but this is more than that.
Yeah, that goes farther than that.
really does. Grizzly bears were delisted in June of last year. So
right.
This is a recent thing. And so Montana still got some sense of those western states down through there, you know. A lot of them are crazy, but Montana still has some good sense. I'm stunned, really, that they're not going to have a grizzly hunting season, because I know that a lot of the ranchers around there wanted it.
Well, you know, I can understand part of it, or, you know, I understand all of it. If he's in my cattle, I'd be kind of teed off. But, you know, if they're bothering your cattle and stuff, you should be, you know, they, and I'm sure if they talked to them and got something passed, they would let them eliminate those that are damaging their livestock.
Well, I think you can still do that. If there's an animal that you've seen, you know, or is in this process of eating one of your, killing one of your cows, you can shoot it. You know, if you're the landowner, but you can't invite people in from Chicago to shoot them, you know?
Well, I can understand. I can understand that.
Yeah, well, in any case.
Well, they have
grizzly bears got a break in Montana this year.
Well, they delisted them from the endangered species, and I guess it was just last year. But the problem is their food sources are dwindling because of, you know, climate change impacts. And but they at least they've gotten them up to about, I think they said 700 bears now in that area. So it has come back a little bit.
There's an argument over how many bears there are around Yellowstone, and just about
that's the official
knows estimate. There's more than they count.
Yeah.
So I heard 1,600 last year, and that, you know, that seems likely. They make it sound like there's fewer because they don't want more pressure on killing them, you know?
Right.
So I can understand why they are conservative in their number estimations.
Yeah, well, it's good that they've delisted them and that they're doing something, because I don't understand why people want to hunt bears anyway, but I guess, you know, people do.
People do. Well, and it's just hunting's hunting. You know, it's good, it's bad, et cetera, et cetera. I don't, you know, as a young man, I was a big hunter. I hunted a lot. And as an old man, I'm not so much into killing things anymore. You know, that doesn't mean I don't like hunting. I think that I've had my share.
Well, you're kind of like I am. I was the same way. Used to hunt all every day. Rabbit season or quail season. Of course, well, there's not a lot of them left anymore. But I'd just soon sit and watch them play.
Well, I understand your feeling. And, you know, Bill, I was a dedicated quail hunter for 30-40 years, and that's a lifestyle that's not around anymore, and it's certainly one that I enjoyed, and the memories involved of that, and the dogs and the birds and the guys that you hunted with and the time you spent in the field, and most of that time you spend in the field is just talking to each other about this and that and
right
the world, and oh, did you see that squirrel? And think it's just a life that, boy, I'm sorry, it's passing out. You know.
Well, I am too, but times changed, and I mean, it's really changed.
Yes, it has, and a lot of that is because we don't have any place to, you know, there really aren't many places where you can hunt if you don't own your own land.
No, not anymore. Of course, many houses and subdivisions and apartment buildings and what have you, you've got now, there's just nowhere to go.
Well, I got an example on that. You know, down here where I live on Pine Island, they just cleared the forest over here to put up some condos. Now, every year, I know I've told you here on this show in the past, we had these Chuck Wills Widows, which is a relative of the whippoorwill. You know, whippoorwill sings a whippoorwill.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Chuck Wills Widow goes, Chuck Wills Widow, Chuck Wills Widow. And I had those around here. We'd hear them in the winter here. I haven't heard one for 2 years since they bulldozed this woods over here. So that's what's happening to everything. It's being dispossessed.
Running them out.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But for running them out for humans.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. And boys, I don't see how they can put up too many more apartments and stuff.
Oh man, and Bloomington is just totally out of control.
Well, it's on every corner now, and they're tearing down buildings and to build a new one, and it's pathetic.
Well, it doesn't, you know, a person coming into town, coming up Walnut Street, would not recognize Bloomington now.
Oh no!
You know?
Gosh, no!
Until you get down to the square, it's a whole new ball game out there.
It sure is.
Well, I did hear one thing that was positive that you've been complaining about, that they've finished the overpass at Vernal Pike.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. I knew they had done that, yeah.
So that's taking a little bit of pressure off getting to the west side, but of course...
Not much.
Not much, but, you know, a little bit, so...
And Vernal Pike is now jammed with cars. They had that open before I left, actually.
Right.
It wasn't completely finished.
I just hadn't heard it, so I'm glad to see they're making some progress anyway.
Well, the next one they got to do is that road, you know, Country Club Road down there.
Yeah, they're working on it.
It's supposed to be.
And they built a mountain for that overpass there, haven't they?
Yeah.
now wait till that starts settling.
Right.
Oh, right. And there is a creek right down there, you know, probably flows right into that lake that they're going to destroy at Camp Wapahani.
Yeah.
No, it's on the other side of it.
Other side of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. They're going to destroy the lake anyway.
Well, they're going to destroy it anyway, so. Well, it's already
one
destroyed.
One way or another, we'll get rid of that lake.
It's already destroyed with all the gas and oil and stuff off from antifreeze and everything off the highway.
Yeah, you got a point there, Bill. Yeah, I down here I see people fishing in these retention ponds, and it just kind of makes me shiver because, you know, these retention ponds, they take all of the stuff that runs off of the parking lots and the roads that are around these condos and apartment buildings.
Right.
And all of that goes into those retention ponds, and those fish have got to be like glow in the dark. You know?
They have to.
You never hear anybody say they tested the fish in the retention pond. Actually, I haven't heard of anybody testing any fish in Indiana since the Fish and Wildlife Service came through here 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
So I have no idea if they even keep track of it anymore.
You know, I don't think they do.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, any of that's bad news. And the way these guys look at this, anything that has to do with science is going to produce bad news for business. That's the way it goes. Period. So we got no room for science in this world today. We want to keep it down. You know, they ban. You can't say climate change in South Carolina, you know. I think the president banned global warming use in the White House. What else can you say?
Well,
I rest my case.
Well, there are some people doing something, and I did want to mention this before we get too late here, but there's a free showing of a movie now that's out called Saving Yellowwood. This is only the beginning, it's called. And that'll be free at the Brown County Playhouse on Saturday, February 24th. And there'll be some music there and some other things. And anyway, if you haven't seen this film, they'll be showing it for free. So it starts at 7 p.m. Tickets free, available at the door. Go to Brown County on the 24th of February, and you can see that film. So might be something you can do.
Film on.
You know, I don't know much about it other than it's called Saving Yellowwood. So apparently it's made by the people that, you know, had the signs in their yards and stuff, and the people that have been trying to work on that, protest.
Well, it could be also the states got, you know, this stuff out about the truth about Yellowwood and whatnot. So.
No, this one's from the, I'll have to look farther into it, but it's not one of those. This is,
it's the good this, people.
From
eh?
The people that are against it. So, yeah.
That'd be the good people.
Yeah.
Where's that Brown County Playhouse at, you know?
That's right downtown Nashville, right in the middle of everything.
Okay.
And easy to park there.
Just go up the road. Instead of turning right on 46, you just keep going straight. And when you get up there on the top of the hill, look on your left.
Yeah, it's right just about halfway up the strip there.
I knew where it was at. I just wanted to let everybody know that where it was at and how to get there.
Yeah. And
it's like an event. I wish I was there, I'd be going.
And we do have the Brown County Hour, just for folks that are interested in things going on in Brown County. That's another show that's on WFHB. You can find that online or listen to it as well. But anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little piece of news.
Yeah, that's a good item. I got one along those lines on the same day, actually, if you're interested in this. The one and only Burrowing Owl Festival. You know what burrowing owls are? Those cute little guys.
Yeah,
you know,
little fellers.
Uh-huh, they live in holes in the ground. That's taking place right down here at Cape Coral on February 24th.
Mm.
So if you happen to be down this way or you want to see some burrowing owls, this is the place to go. And they'd like to hear from you. That'd be the Cape Coral Wildlife Conservancy.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That. Yeah. And if you're going and you're interested in going, folks, call Don Jordan's motel and see if he's got an extra room. He may be booked up. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, I'd let you camp in the yard, but, you know, we got those Burmese pythons down here, and that kind of cut down on the tent camping.
Right.
I bet.
Yeah, you don't want to wake up with one of those in your tent.
Oh, man. They just had, they hired 30 guys, Everglade-wise dudes, to go out into the Everglades, and they have been doing this, and, you know, gather as many pythons as they can. And they got these 30 guys, got 60-some. So that's about two apiece. So they wait till it gets cold, and you go out in the canals along, you know, running through the Everglades that they use to drain it, and I guess you can see these big boys laying down there, and you grab them by the tail and just pull them out, and they're, you know, they're drugged. They're so cold, you know.
Right.
They don't fight back. And these guys all got python wristbands and hat bands, and there's some python harvesting going on, but it'll never catch up with this.
Well, hey, we're hear the music now. We're just about ready to leave, so thanks. We'll see you next week. Don, thanks for calling in.
And have a good week, folks. Right. By golly, stay warm. Go ahead, Don.
I just said so long. See you all.
All righty. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to WFHB at 91.3 FM in Bloomington, 98.1 FM in Nashville, 100.7 Ellettsville, and 106.3 FM. Community radio for southern Indiana. So here we are. Another one's over with, so we'll be back and see you next week. This is the guys from Inside Outdoors.